Put to Joshua chapter number 23. Joshua chapter number 23. And I guess I'm going to kind of go over, the story that led up to this moment in time. In Joshua chapter 14, 14 through 19, the children of Israel, they came in, well, before chapter 14, they came and they were conquering the land of promise. And Joshua, of course, led them to them and helped them as they were conquering the land. And Joshua chapter 14 through 19, they are dividing the land amongst the children of Israel. When you get to chapter 18, when you get to chapter 18, it says the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up a tabernacle and the congregation. I feel like I'm in the wrong chapter or something. Oh, no, it's verse number 2. And there was remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And so the 7 tribes still haven't got their inheritance. In chapter 19, those 7 tribes get divided to them their inheritance. So now we get to chapter number 20, and the land has been divided between all the children of Israel. And in chapter number 20, God gives Joshua a commandment to tell the children of Israel that they need to set aside cities to become the cities of refuge. And the cities of refuge, of course, were the places that if someone was, if someone accidentally murdered someone, they could flee to these cities so that they wouldn't be harmed. And then in Joshua chapter 21, they go over the different land, how the land was divided, and it goes over which land they gave for the cities of refuge. Then in Joshua chapter 22, it goes over the story of the children of Reuben. I don't know what I was saying there. It goes over the children of Reuben who built the altar or whatever. They built an altar so that they wouldn't forget God and that so that the next generation would remember him. And, of course, we know the children of Israel saw that they were building an altar and they heard that. And so they came over there and they were going to wipe them out. They were just going to kill them all. And we of course, know how that turned out. And then we get to where I want to be in chapter number 23. And I'm going to start reading, and I'm in the wrong spot on here. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age." So we see that some time has gone on between chapter number 22 and chapter number 23. Now they have the land divided and everything. Everyone's kind of settled in. And we see that at the end of the verse that Joshua was old and stricken in years. Verse number 2 says, "And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward." And then if you jump down all the way, or I guess going through from verse number 5 to verse 15, Joshua reminds the children of Israel of everything that God had previously done for them, reminds them of the fact that God had just, or as he already said kind of in verse number 3, that God fought for you. It was God who delivered you out of Egypt. It was God who delivered the hands of your enemies delivered the enemies into your hands. And so he reminds them of this, and when we get to verse number 16, we see that Joshua warns the people, and I'm just going to read it. Verse number 16 says, "When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you." And like as I said, we see that Joshua's warning them or whatever that we in that chapter that we or that they need to stay faithful to God, that we need to remember what God has done for us, and we need to lost my train of thought. and he warns them what will happen if they don't. Then chapter number 24, if you want to turn to chapter number 24, it says, "And Joshua, verse number 1, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before the Lord." And then verse number 2 through verse number 13, it kind of goes, Joshua gives almost a brief history of all of Israel. If you look at verse number 3, the beginning of the verse says, "And I took your father, Abraham. In verse number 4, I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. In verse number 5, I sent Moses also and Aaron. And then verse number 6, I brought your fathers out of Egypt." And then all the way down to verse 11, it says, "And ye went over Jordan and came unto Jericho." And we all know the story of Jericho when they marched around the walls for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they marched around, seven times? And, of course, the walls of Jericho fell and they conquered Jericho. And then we get to verse number 13, and it says, "And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore," Joshua says, now looking back at everything that God has done for us, looking back at the things he has provided for us, "now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served in the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we serve the Lord, for he is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume ye after that he hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses. Now therefore, put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord your God of Israel." And then if you would jump with me down to verse number 29, it says, "And it came to pass after these things, that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known the works of the Lord, and that he had done for Israel." All right, and we see through this that we see the argument between Joshua and the people. Joshua said, "You need to choose this day whom you will serve." He said, "I'm going to serve God." The people said back to him, "Oh, we're going to serve God too." And then he says in verse number 9, verse number 19, "Ye cannot serve the Lord." And if you'll jump over to me two chapters into Judges chapter number 2, Judges almost kind of goes back in time, if you will, back to the time when Joshua was still alive. And in Joshua chapter number 2, verse number 6, we almost see the exact same story, almost word perfect, in verses 7 and 8. We're going to start in verse number 6. It says, "And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went..." Oh, and obviously, as I said, Joshua is still alive here. So it jumped back in time. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all of the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gash. And as I said, I find it funny that it's almost word perfect, those three verses, as what we just read. But verse number 10 is where we're mainly going to be focused on tonight. And I'll just read verse number 10. It says, "And also all the generations were gathered unto their father." I'm sorry. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their father." And what that's saying is, and also, they just talked about Joshua dying, and it says, "And also all that generation," meaning the generation of Joshua, "were gathered unto their fathers," meaning they died, they kicked the bucket, they're now dead. So, like I said, and then continuing in that verse, it says, "And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." And I find verse number 10 I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I guess I'll just keep reading verse number 11. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord their God, forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them. And they bowed themselves down and provoked the Lord to anger." And we see right in verse 11, we see that the children of Israel, only after, not, it, the verse number 10 says, "And the generation, and also that generation," so the generation of Joshua had just died, and it says, "And there arose a new generation." So it's the generation immediately following the generation of Joshua. And it's amazing to see how quickly, just how fast, the children of Israel turned from God. And to me, it's sad to think that within two verses, the children of Israel went from serving God, and they went from saying, "We will serve God." And Joshua said, "You cannot serve God." And they said, "No, we will. We are witnesses against ourselves." And then it takes one verse, and the Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam." And verse number 10 is what I'm going to be preaching about. And what the sentence that really just kind of stuck out to me, it says, "And there arose another generation after them," and this is it right here, "which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." And I just have to ask myself this question: why didn't the children of Israel know? Why didn't the next generation, one generation later, why didn't this generation know the Lord? Why haven't they heard the stories of Egypt? Why hadn't they have heard the stories that should have been passed down, that should have been told them? Why didn't they hear about this? How come they had no idea about the Lord? It says they knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And my question, I guess, is just, why didn't they know? And there's two main reasons why I think the children of Israel didn't know. And number one is the previous generation failed to teach them. And I guess I never gave you the title. The title of my message is "The Downfall of a Nation." The downfall of a nation. The number one thing, or the two things that nations have to, or if they don't do, they will fall. They can't do without it. And these are the two things. The first one is the previous generation failed to teach them. Okay, so why did the previous generation fail to teach them? Why, for what reason would they have forgotten to teach them? And it could very simply be that they just forgot. And that's letter A, they simply forgot. We as humans are forgetful by nature. We obviously see that they did not forget about God, because the verse says that they serve God until the next generation. So we see that that previous generation, they did not completely forget about God, but they could have just forgot to teach the next generation. And I feel like so many times in history we see that the reason for a nation's downfall, or a nation that once was godly, is simply because They forgot to teach the next generation. They didn't see, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I almost said the next point. But I guess I can get into the next point. Another reason why they might not have told the next generation is simply because they did not have time. They did not have time. I think so many times in my life of just how busy life can get, how stressful and just how chaotic everything can be, and you're just going through the motions and you just get it done and you're just sitting there going, and they didn't have time to tell the next generation. Let me just say this. We as people don't have time. We don't have time if we don't make time. We as humans, we don't have time unless we make time. If we don't make time to do something, we will never have that time to do. And this is true in every area of a Christian life. If we don't make time to pray, then the truth is we're just not going to pray. If we don't take the time to read our Bible, if we don't make time for that, the truth is we are just not going to do it. We have to make time. And they could have just failed to make time to teach their children. I think about my family, and I think about how blessed God, how blessed I truly am to think that my parents actually took the time to teach me about God's Word. They made time to bring us to church every time the doors were open. They made time to teach us God's Word. They made time to every morning would read us devotions during school. And I thank God for that, but I think of how many families, how many nations have failed simply because the previous generation, the parents, the grandparents, did not take the time to teach their next generation. The next reason why they might not have taught the next generation is they didn't see the importance of it. They didn't see the importance. They didn't realize how important it would truly be to teach the next generation. And again, this kind of goes along. They kind of all fit with each other. They could have gotten so busy that they just didn't think about it. They didn't see the importance of it because, well, one, they might have forgot. Two, they might have not had time to even think about it. But the truth is, either way, we see that the next generation, they didn't get taught. And because of it, we see that the children of Israel forsook God and served other gods simply because the previous generation failed to teach them. They failed to teach the next generation. All right, and the next reason why the new generation did not know God might be because they just didn't care. The new generation just simply didn't care. And I feel like we can see this so often in our society today, just how careless the next generation is. I think of my life in general, just as a younger kid and even still today, just how much I just didn't care. Just how much, going over the history of America during school, how much I just didn't care. Who cares about that? Who needs that? And it could be that the problem was not with the previous generation. It could be that their parents did take the time to teach them. It could be that their parents did care, and they did see the importance of it, and they did take the time to teach them. And it could just be that the reason they didn't know God is because they didn't care. And so my next question is, why do new generations not care about God? What is it about new generations that we seem to lose sight of God? We seem to just not care. And letter A is because life is easy. Letter A is life is easy. Life, especially today in our age, is a piece of cake for us. It really is. To think of just a couple generations back, to think of our pa and how his life was. To think that every morning he would get up before the sun and milk cows, only to go to school, come back, feed the cows, go to sleep, and do it all over again the next day. And to think of my life, just how lazy I've been. Life has been so easy for new generations. And actually, if you look back in Joshua chapter 24, verse 13, it says, "And I have given you a land which ye did not build, or which ye did not labor. I'm sorry, I'm going to reread that because I messed that up. And I have given you a land which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and dwelt in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which thou planted not, do ye eat. And we see that Joshua said that God gave us buildings that we didn't have to make. He gave us vineyards that we didn't have to sit there, and we didn't have to work for that food. And I think that today in America, we see that so clearly, that we don't have to work for anything as much anymore. In a day that you don't have to work very hard, you get a good job and you can support your family, and your kids don't have to do anything. It wasn't like, as I already mentioned, Paul, when he was a kid, just two generations ago, he had to work to support his family as a child. He had to work to support himself, to feed himself. And I feel like today the main reason why we don't care is because life is easy. Now, my next couple points, including this point, they all kind of fit into each other, and one kind of leads on top of each other. And what we see is because life is easy for us, because life was easy for them, letter B, they didn't need God. Because we didn't have to work for anything, because all of our food is right there, because we don't have to... I'm sorry. Is there water? I don't have water. because life was easy for us, easy for them, they didn't need God. It's a known fact that it's a known fact we are the closest to God when we are going through a hard time in our life. The harder life gets, the more we have to depend on God, the more we have to trust Him. And we see that when life is easy, when life is good, we just kind of lose the dependency upon God. I'm okay, thank you. But we just, like I said, we lose our dependency on God. And I think of Proverbs. You don't have to turn there if you want, but I'm going to Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9 says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain." And I think of the beginning of verse 9, "lest I be full and deny thee." And that's exactly the situation we see that the children of Israel in this chapter, is that they were full. They didn't need anything else. Everything they had already been provided for. They didn't have to trust God to provide their next meal. They didn't have to trust God to provide a roof over their head, because it was already there. And then the next one, because they didn't see God, because life was easy, they didn't need God. Because they didn't need God, because they didn't have a relationship with God like they should have, all right, we see letter C, they were self-centered. And we see this in many, especially in America today. The further and further we as a nation or as individuals become from God, the more self-centered we get. America, it seems like so many other countries, we look at them and they're serving other gods, like Buddha, and I mean... the only one I could think of off the top of my head at the moment. But we see all these other actual gods and their actual images. America really doesn't have, I mean, the Catholics are kind of, I mean, they have statues, but they don't really worship the actual statues. And maybe. Don, do they worship the statues actually? Do they? Okay. But, I mean, in America, though, we really don't have a god. The God in America is self. And it seems like the further and further and further you get away from God, the more self-centered you, as I said, as an individual or as a nation become. And if we're not careful, if we don't realize the importance of, as this generation, if we don't realize the importance of teaching our younger generation to serve God, if we don't make time to teach them, if we don't take the time to or I mean, if we need to not forget, when if we don't take the time to do it, as I said, it's not going to happen. We as Christians, as I said, we don't have time unless we make time. And we as Christians need to constantly be aware that there is a younger generation under us. And if we don't teach them, nobody will. And if we don't teach them, they will fall. And as I already said, our country is very clearly not being taught or failing to teach the next generation. We can't forget how important it is to teach the next generation. And as a younger person and us as teenagers, we need to make sure that we are thankful for the things that God has given us. We need to be very careful that we don't take our lives that are so easy, that are so simple, we need to be careful that we don't take that for granted. Because if we start focusing on that, then just like the children of Israel, since our life is easy, we won't need God. We won't become in a place where we have to trust God. We won't come to that place in our life where we need Him. And I feel like that's one of the main problems with America. One of the main problems with our society is just we are so content. Life is just so easy for us as Americans. There's no persecution. There's no anything. And like I said, life is just very easy. Life is simple. But as I said, we need to be careful that if we dwell on that, then we won't trust God. And then, as I already said, if we don't trust God, we already know where that leads. That leads to being self-centered. And we as Christians need to love others as we love ourselves. We need to think of others first. We need to be doing things for others, not ourselves. And if we lose sight of God in this country or as individuals, we will become self-centered as America already is. And we will fall as a nation. And we see over and over the children of Israel, how God would send them into bondage. They'd be captured. He'd allow something bad to happen to them. And they'd repent. They'd get right with God. As soon as something bad happens, that's when they turn to God. It would be better if we as a nation would realize, would open our minds to our pride, would realize how prideful we really are, would realize how self-centered we really are. If we could get past our self-centeredness as a nation, there would be a revival. If we could simply just let go of ourselves, if we could simply just trust God, if we would fall on our knees and beg Him to save us and just let go of self, there would be a revival. There's no doubt about that. And we as Christians need to remember to teach the next generation, and that our generation would see the importance of not getting self-centered, not letting our easiness, not letting our not comfortable lives, I guess you could say, get the best of us. And that's all I have, so let's pray.